This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Green from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right, good morning to you. Happy you're with us on this first day of April. Welcome in. Mark Cox in here alongside Kim St. Ange, Carl Middleman, Susan Thomas with your traffic in just a couple of minutes, and we'll get Ethan in here before the hour is up within other news as well. We're going to talk to John Lamping at the bottom of the hour. There's a lot going on down in Jeff City today. It's the day of action. The Moms Demand Action Group and a bunch of other progressive groups are going to be in Jeff City. They're alarmed that you might be able to protect yourself on Metrolink. Wouldn't that be awful? If you had the ability to protect yourself from rapists and muggers on Metrolink and other things by legally conceal carrying your weapon, wouldn't that be fantastic to even the playing field there? No, that would be dangerous. That would increase gun violence. I'm sorry, if the thugs are the victims of gun violence, that's not necessarily a bad thing if they're threatening you at the time. That's what you can't seem to get through to these people. If they were on Metro and they were being threatened by someone, they would be lucky to have you there if you happen to be a concealed carry holder. Mm-hmm. But that's what they're going to go to Jeff City and complain about today. That's one of the bills.
Didn't they say they had upped security for the Metro because of all these incidents? But my understanding was that them, quote unquote, upping security meant that at each station, maybe, or some of the stations, yeah, there were security guards, versus they need to be riding the Metro. They need to be on there in plain sight for people to see, because there's some numbskulls who keep doing stupid stuff, like trying to do sexual things to a chair and shooting people and all sorts of stuff. I'm not going to go into detail about that, but you guys might remember the story.
Yeah, I'm going to give Metro credit where credit's due. They have done things to increase security on the trains. They have. They've tried to secure the stations where you have to have a ticket to get on the platform. That should have been done 30 years ago when it was first built, and it wasn't. It took a long time. So they've done things to increase security. I'll give them credit for that. But it still shouldn't prevent me as a licensed concealed carry holder from carrying my concealed carry weapon, which nobody knows I have, and I don't threaten anybody with it unless somebody threatens me. It said it's ludicrous to suggest that would increase violence when it's the criminals who commit the violence. It's just insane. But anyway, that's one of the bills that's being bandied about down in Jeff City. We'll chat about some of those with John Lamping here at the bottom of the hour. Tomorrow is what the president's referred to as Liberation Day. I listened. I'm going to play you a bite from it in a minute, but I listened to Caroline Leavitt yesterday. Once again, we're going to talk to Madeline Rivera from Fox. She's in front of the White House this morning. She's going to join us to talk more about this. But Caroline Leavitt laid out some examples of some of these tariffs yesterday. 700% tariff on some U.S. goods in some countries, like in India and Japan. Even the EU puts a 50% tariff on a lot of American goods coming into the European Union. And we don't do that on goods from Europe.
So how long have these, because I've heard this. So
years.
These are just for, so did they have a great, you know, everyone's so scared about how the economy could be impacted by this. And even Trump has said, you know, we might see a little bit of a short-term increase in the price of goods, but we're playing the long game here, and this is what's necessary.
Yeah.
Did those countries have some crazy economic, you know, downfall when this happened? like people are freaking out will happen here in the United States?
No, because they did it years ago, afraid of the economic might of the United States. And these are tariffs are protectionist policies. And I haven't always I'm a free trade guy. But if you're not going to give me free trade, why should I give you free trade? I mean, at the end of the day, it's about what's fair to Americans. And for years, this country was run by a bunch of apologists for America. We're done with that. We're done apologizing for the greatness of America. We're the 900-pound gorilla in the room. You're not going to treat us like that anymore. And I think every American can identify with that. Why should American cars have a 75% tariff put on them when they're sent to a foreign country? And you know they're not going to sell as well as the cars that are made in that country because they're more expensive. It's not a level playing field. That's what tomorrow's about. We're going to talk to Madeline Rivera more about that coming up here in the next segment. So I promise you that we'll get to all that and more for you. But right now, Carl, I want to get to some of our top stories, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
Anyone who's bought a concert ticket in the last decade, maybe 20 years, no matter what your politics are, knows it is a conundrum. You buy a ticket for $100, by the time you check out, it's $170. You don't know what you can charge for, but more importantly, these bots. You know, they come in to get all the good tickets to your favorite shows you want to go to, and then they're relisted immediately for sometimes a 400-500% markup.
Yeah, that's Kid Rock in all of his glory in his bright red unit costume yesterday he was wearing in the Oval Office as Trump signed this executive order to try to stop ticket price gouging. You know it happens. If you've ever bought a ticket to a concert recently, you see all the fees, or if you try to buy one secondary, and the Trump executive order is trying to stop that.
Is there a thought that the Democrats could try to run Barack Obama against you?
I'd love that.
For his third term?
Boy, I'd love that. That would be a good one. I'd like that.
Yeah, that'd be great. Oh, yeah. Boy, you know, and that was Peter Ducey, I think, from Fox that asked that question. Trump's got him running around like chickens with their heads cut off out of fear that he might get a third term while he's being so effective in his second.
If you take part in the wave of domestic terrorism against Tesla properties, we will find you, arrest you, and put you behind bars. Justice is coming.
Yes, indeed we will. That is a great example there, don't you think? That is Pam Bondi saying, if we catch you just because you don't like Elon Musk damaging Teslas, you'll face the full wrath of the federal government.
In the bar for getting rid of a Secretary of Defense is apparently pretty high. You can get 13 people killed and go AWOL and not tell the commander in chief, and that's not a fireable offense.
Yeah, Scott Jennings schooling the libs once again over at CNN yesterday. Apparently, he just re-signed with them. He's going to continue to be a thorn in their side at CNN. He's the only reason they get ratings these days. Can I just tell you that? Scott Jennings.
Well, yeah, their ratings have tanked.
Yeah.
He at least offers the other perspective.
You know, Jennings was one of those guys that Reardon's had him on for years. He's known him, I think, from his days when he was in Kentucky years ago or something. He's known the guy for a long time. But I've always enjoyed listening to Scott. I don't always agree with him on everything. He was not a huge fan of Donald Trump. And he's come around, and now on CNN, he's really the only guy over there that ever, for the most part, just lays bare the ridiculous arguments of the left. I mean, he really does. And this is one example of it where they're all on this panel with him, some of them demanding that Pete Hegseth step down. And he's like, you really don't have a leg to stand on here.
And accountability.
I think Republicans aren't interested in any lectures on accountability in the military after the Biden administration. I mean, the bar for getting rid of a Secretary of Defense is apparently pretty high. You can get 13 people killed and go AWOL and not tell the commander in chief, and that's not a fireable offense.
He did
lectures about accountability and national security after letting 10 million people into the country who raped and murdered and committed violent acts and no remorse or accountability.
What are you talking about?
No more lectures. No more lectures about national security. This was a huge.
What are you talking about? They closed the border. Who closed the border? Donald Trump closed the border. Here's accountability. Did you see what Hegseth did yesterday? He said, we're going to erase the double standard for fitness tests in the United States military. There used to be different standards for men and women in combat roles. From now, there's one. From now on forward, there's one role. If you really think men and women are equal, we're going to put it to a test.
It's actually smart.
Everybody's got to meet the same standard. How are the liberals going to argue with that? Because they want to argue that men should be able to compete in women's sports. Women can compete against them.
If you have to lift a certain amount of weight, I mean, obviously there'd be a running component and things like that, push-ups maybe.
Exactly. Whatever the PT components are for the men will also apply to the women. No lesser standard for pull-ups, push-ups, the time in the mile, all of that's going to be standard.
The song that comes to mind is "I Can Do Anything Better Than You." It's just that's been the whole back and forth battle between men and women.
We're about to see. We're in the find out phase right now in the Department of Defense. Coming up, Madeline Rivera from the front lawn of the White House on Liberation Day. We'll be right back.
Look at the unfair trade practices that we have. 50% from the European Union on American dairy. You have a 700% tariff from Japan on American rice. You have a 100% tariff from India on American agricultural products. You have nearly a 300% tariff from Canada on American butter and American cheese. This makes it virtually impossible for American products to be imported into these markets.
Yes, it does. But guess what? They're calling this Liberation Day Eve. Tomorrow is Liberation Day. Let's get to Madeline Rivera with Fox News, kind enough to give us a few minutes this morning from the lawn of the White House. And Madeline, good morning.
Hi, guys. Hi, Mark. Good morning to you.
Yeah, it's great to have you on. Thank you so much. You know, my continuing question here is, why doesn't somebody go over to the embassy for Japan there in Washington, D.C. and say, how can you justify the tariffs you charge us when you don't want them to be reciprocal?
Yeah, you know, this has been an ongoing conversation for President Trump and the White House in general. They have complained about unfair trade practices. Not really sure why that process that you mentioned, Mark, has not been pursued in the past, but the president has made this a very important issue for him. Case in point, why we're expected to see those tariff plans released tomorrow. And as of right now, we are told that the president is still working on these final details. He's been consulting with his trade advisors. They are expected to give him a series of high-level reports today, which could potentially influence his decision. But still some outstanding questions that we just don't have the answers to right now, Mark, like talking about what countries will be affected, what type of tariffs will this be, will it be a universal tariff or an individual tariff rate for each country? Those are some of the things that we're looking to find out and hoping to get more answers. But we're also hearing that the president might likely not make a decision until like right before tomorrow or even tomorrow morning.
And we don't expect any sort of an exception like we saw, what was it, a few weeks ago with some of these auto manufacturers?
You know, White House Press Secretary Caroline Leavitt was asked about this yesterday, and she said that no, there will be no exemptions for any countries this time around.
Wow. So in other words, what we do know about President Trump, what we've learned is that this is a negotiating factor. He's the key negotiator. He's the guy, the art of the deal. And maybe he's waiting to see which countries are going to come forward before midnight tonight and say, OK, we'll roll ours back if you don't hit us twice as hard.
Well, yeah, you know, the president sees that as one reason why he wants to impose these tariffs. He sees it as a negotiating tool, hopefully force other countries to lower their tariff rates as well. But at the same time, he also sees tariffs as a way to boost domestic manufacturing. He says it will revitalize American businesses. He also says that it will raise federal revenue. So those are the other reasons why the president says he wants to impose these tariffs. It's more than just a negotiating tool for him.
And he has said, you know, we could feel a little bit of the impact, you know, as far as prices go, but they really were playing the long game, right?
Exactly. Sure, the president has acknowledged, I believe it was either last month or the month before, but in the last several weeks, he acknowledged that there would be some pain for American consumers. But he did say he does believe that eventually that these tariffs will pay off in the long run, and that eventually it's the American people that will benefit from this because more businesses will be building their products in the U.S. But of course, the argument from the other side, from critics, is that it's consumers that will largely bear the cost of these tariffs because the companies will be passing off the tariff costs to these consumers. So, you know, a lot of arguments on both sides. We'll see what happens tomorrow.
Yeah. And we may not know, you say, until later this evening what the final numbers are going to be.
You know, I can't put a timing on that, Mark. I do know that the timing is fluid. So it's either right before April 2nd, whether that means tonight or in the early morning hours of April 2nd. I don't really know, or the morning of April 2nd itself. We just don't know the timing, unfortunately. I wish I had more clarity because I would love to have that as well.
Madeline Rivera live in front of the White House. Thanks so much for your time.
You got it. Good to join you guys as always.
Yep. Thank you very much. We appreciate having you on, and thanks for saying yes, because Peter Ducey never will.
I dropped her off the line before I put that little dig in there. We request Peter Ducey all the time, and the guy won't do radio. I don't know why. I even had Griff Jenkins give him grief about it one morning when Griff was anchoring with him, and Peter just doesn't like to do radio, so he won't do it, and neither will his wife. So.
Well, and Madeline,
they offer him every day.
We saw her on the lawn of the White House this morning on Big Fox, with like what 10 minutes before.
Yeah, well,
she just
less than that, probably.
She chatted with us.
Yeah, but it's good. This is the art of the deal. If you know Japan is charging you a 300% tariff. What'd they say, a 700% tariff on American rice, so that it won't compete with any Japanese rice sales in Japan, because nobody's going to pay the extra money to get American rice. You go to them and you say, why are you doing this to us? We're now going to charge you 700%. Maybe it makes them wake up and realize their days of taking advantage of American consumers is over. All right, coming up, we're going to get to John Lamping. Talk more about what's going on in Jeff City today. We'll be right back.
Monday evening, Missouri lawmakers held a hearing over House Bill 1372. If passed, the legislation would require a change to a person's birth certificate when they want to change their gender on driver's licenses. Tuesday, House members will discuss Senate Bill 10, which would permanently ban trans youth from playing school sports in accordance with their gender identity. It would also prohibit youth gender-affirming surgeries. And then Wednesday in the state Senate, lawmakers will hear a bill seeking to ban all transgender Missourians from using public bathrooms of their choice.
Yeah, that's KMOV reporting on the day of action that's going on in Jeff City today, when I guess progressive groups that are opposed to all those ideas will show up in force, supposedly, down at the state capitol. We got former Senator John Lamping on the line this morning. John, how are you?
I'm doing well. Mark, Kim, nice to be with you both this morning.
Yeah, great to have you, John. You know, I'm hearing, I don't know what you're hearing, I'm hearing different reports from people in Jeff City who have been impressed with what they referred to me as a different Cindy O'Loughlin than the one they experienced a year ago with Caleb Rowden. Now, they do appear to be moving some legislation forward down there, and that makes me happy.
Well, there's a lot of slapping in the back. You know, the word out of Jeff City is that things are getting done unlike ever before. But what are they doing that actually is for the better? I would suggest that the bill that has passed is going to have the biggest impact on all of us is what we discussed last week, which is the Ameren utility bill, which allows for all construction work in progress that's not producing energy, for us to bear the cost of that. It's going to have a dramatic impact on our monthly bills. So, yeah, Jefferson City, what is Jefferson City institutionally, meaning special interests working through their lobbyists to enact legislation. That legislation is actually passing this year for the first time in a very long time, and I would say it's very much for the worse. So, you know, we've got 7 weeks to go in session, and no big things are going to happen that haven't already happened so far. And the biggest thing I suggested to you is the utility bill, which is a big negative. And then we're going to have a week this week. It's all about, you know, transgenderism and people in sports. And that'll just take away from the fact that the big things that can change Missouri, those bills aren't moving. You know, it's obvious the governor has suggested he wants to eliminate the income tax. And as you saw last week, Mississippi, in fact, did eliminate the income tax. But I think the probability of that happening this session is almost zero. And then when the federal government passes their budget in September and they change the rules around Medicaid reimbursement, you're going to see that the federal dollars for Medicaid are going to be a lot less going forward. And the state's going to have to pick up the slack, which means that their budget's going to take a big hit. So, you know, the idea that things are getting done and the president of the Senate is a different person and it's a wonderful place, that's only if you ask somebody from Jefferson City or a lobbyist or a special interest. I would suggest that the people in Missouri are no better off and probably worse off for having had this session exist so far.
I was sad to see that the Planned Parenthood in Chester, or not Chesterfield, in the Central West End, rather, has resumed abortions. And I guess a couple things on that. It sounds like they're doing surgical abortions. They applied, they submitted some sort of paperwork to try to do medication abortions, and the state denied that request. Are you aware of any update with all of that? Because I know that lawmakers were trying to get something passed and get it on the ballot as soon as possible. And then, Mark, I think you were saying this morning, it's sounding like, no, that might not happen until, what was it, 2026?
That was on Amendment 3, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so Missouri is doing all it can to kind of slow down the implementation of abortion expansion. But at the end of the day, the ballot initiative passed. It's a constitutional change. And after a series of court cases, all of these types of abortion will exist in Missouri probably by the end of this year. I think the cases will be won. The amendment, what's happening right now in Jefferson City is that a constitutional amendment proposal is working its way through the legislature that would put that question back on the ballot in 2026. And the question would be, should you allow, would eliminate abortion except for, the life of the mother and kind of all the exceptions, rape, incest, the things that a lot of people think that it's fine to have an abortion. So, but that won't be until the 2026 election, and that won't, so that it wouldn't go into effect until 2027. And so in the meantime, abortion is going to happen in Missouri. And, you know, that's another, that ballot initiative will be something that the Democrats will filibuster that ballot initiative to such a degree that it'll require the Senate to shut down in order to pass it as a parliamentary procedure called the previous question, which would stop the debate. So, you know, we have 7 weeks to go, and that's still, if that was the priority, then that should have been brought forward. My guess is that we'll probably end the session with the Democrats filibustering that amendment proposal. But again, the big ideas that they could be moving down there aren't moving. But don't, you know, if you ask any of them, they'll all tell you it's been wonderful and that we're all better off. And I would suggest that with 7 weeks to go, we'd be better off if they just passed the budget this week and then left Jeff City for good.
I think you're right. I'm not laughing at I'm not scoffing at that at all. I think you're absolutely right. But explain this to me, John. Why would we wait until November of 2026 to put a ballot issue on? Why not put it on this November, get people back to the polls and vote on it? If you wait a year and a half, all you're doing is empowering the lobbyists and all of the outside money to start building up a campaign again to try to fight whatever they're going to do in a year and a half.
Well, the way that ballot initiative questions come through the legislature, they're obligated to occur in a presidential election year. So they don't really
have
the opportunity. Yeah. So you can't call a special election for that. And so that's just not an option.
In a general election year, you mean, right?
Right.
I thought there was some other way to go around that, though, to like the wording of the question. I forget what it was, but maybe I guess I'm mistaken on that.
No, if you look back, whenever you vote on a constitutional amendment change, it's always in a general election year. It's not in an off year. November of this year would not be an option. So that's something that, you know, that'll be out there and it'll be with us this session and next session. If they're dead serious on having that get to the ballot in 2026, it would pass this year. It would give certainty to the proponents of life. It would give them a full year to do what they need to do as far as raising funds and things like that is concerned. But you know, we'll see. It's interesting that you've heard, Mark, that, oh, they're doing such a great job and things are wonderful in Jeff City. And what, you know, the role that people like Bob Onder and Bill Igel and other conservatives traditionally play over a long period of time is to decide, are we better off having bad stuff pass or nothing pass? And warriors like Bob and Bill would decide that nothing should pass because that's better than bad. Mm-hmm. And that's not the operating mentality down there so far. My guess is you're probably going to see that part of that wing, that conservative wing of the Republican Party, step up a little bit more these last 7 weeks and try to stop bad. But I'm telling you that utility bill that passed is worse than a tax increase, and it'll dramatically change what we pay for energy on a go-forward basis. When we're at a point in our history where energy usage is going to skyrocket, primarily through the use of AI, and the idea that we're going to be paying for projects when, in fact, you know, Ameren is a publicly traded company, could issue stock, could issue debt, could finance the projects. It's not as lucrative if they do it publicly, but instead it's going to come on the back of the ratepayers. And no one will write about it, and only a few shows like yours will even talk about it.
What a shame. It really is a shame. John, we're out of time. Thank you as usual. Thank you, my friend.
Oh, great to be with you this morning.
All right, we'll talk to you soon. Right. John Lamping, former Missouri senator, spilling some truth here for you this morning. All right, coming up, we'll get to another news. And next hour, check in with our friend Todd Pyro of Fox and Friends. First, he had a birthday last week. I texted him, happy birthday, Kim. We'll have to wish him a happy birthday when we get him on. Back in just a minute.
What's happening?
Go, you know the thing.
What the hell is going on?
In other news.
Director Sam Mendes is bringing the Beatles to the big screen like never before, announcing a groundbreaking four-film project at CinemaCon. We've talked about this a little bit. Each movie will focus on a different member of the band. John, Paul, George, and Ringo will all get their own individual movies. It has full approval from Apple Court. What is interesting, though, is they have finally cast the characters. So Paul McCartney will be played by Paul Mescal.
Oscar-nominated actor.
You'll know him from Gladiator 2, Electric Boogaloo. John Lennon, he is going to be played by Harris Dickerson from Iron Claw.
Don't know him.
Ringo Starr is Barry Keoghan. You know him from Saltburn, The Eternals. He was Joker in the latest Batman movie. And George Harrison will be Joseph Quinn from Stranger Things. He was Eddie Munson.
I can't put a
face on that. Who's the guy from Gladiator?
He was the son.
Oh, he played the son.
Son. Was that Pedro Pascal?
Pedro Pascal.
Joseph Quinn was also in Gladiator 2.
They were all both in
it? Both of them were in it, yes. Huh. I looked it up.
Well, they're 20-somethings.
Yeah. So are they going to like pull it off and really sing like the guy did for the Queen movie? Didn't he sing some of that?
I don't know.
That'll be the question.
Start with the Ringo one first, so the bar is set low.
Wow.
Dang.
I'm not wrong.
President Donald Trump did sign an executive order yesterday aimed at combating ticket scalping in the live entertainment industry. And Kid Rock, his longtime supporter, joined him in the Oval Office
dressed
for the
like
signing.
A clown.
He had an American flag on his
he was
red
dressed
outfit.
Like a
he
clown.
Looked a little ridiculous, but it's not surprising for Kid Rock.
He's Kid Rock.
Everyone's given Zelensky trouble for wearing it.
Here's the thing about it. I listened to Kid Rock's comments in there. He's like, I make more money than I deserve. And we already set our prices for our concerts. That's what I want my fans to be able to come and see my concert for. If the ticket's $70, that's what I think the ticket should be set at. You shouldn't have to go online and pay $110 just because there are $40 in fees. Right. Or you shouldn't have to buy them on a secondary market and pay $300 for a $70 ticket. I don't know how they fix that, but the executive order getting the FTC involved and all that is one step in it, right?
Ethan has an answer.
What's that, sir?
Well, we were talking about it earlier. I remember a time when ticket scalping was illegal, but
now
maybe
Ticketmaster does it.
Maybe go after the big corporations that are selling the tickets that also are housing the ticket secondary market.
Yes.
I mean,
or we can all line up on a Saturday like the old days.
Oh, I love that, yeah. Sue. That was the best.
I camped out for Van Halen tickets one time. Yes,
overnight.
Absolutely. Overnight.
You get a line ticket and hope they cut it near you.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
The Country Music Association has announced the 2025 inductees into the Country Music Hall of Fame. Kenny Chesney was recognized as the modern era country artist in his category. June Carter Cash, excuse me, inducted in the Veterans Era artist category, and Tony Brown entering in the non-performing category. This blew up online because everybody was like, June Carter Cash is not in the Country Hall of Fame yet. This is her first time.
Have you noticed something here?
That is.
Brian Johnson is not being inducted into the Country Music Hall of Fame. But country music artists are inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. That's screwed up. I'm sorry. That's just my two cents.
One last quick one. Tanya Haddix, featured in the HBO documentary series Chimp Crazy, has admitted to lying about the death of Tonka, chimpanzee. It looks like she perjured herself and stuff, so she is in a little bit of trouble. She is from Missouri. That whole thing took place here.
So wow.
She's in trouble.
She lied. So is the monkey still alive?
Monkey is still alive. Ooh. They found it in a cage in her basement.
Uh-oh. That's cruel.
Aw.
Wow. Okay. All right. Coming up, we'll get to our friend Todd Pyro. A little later, we're going to talk about the school board races. A lot of electioneering and voting going on today. We'll be back in just a minute.
Get more at 971talk.com.